You're listening to Niche to Meet You, the podcast about little-known niche subcultures and hobbies where we make our meaning. And on this episode, we talk about vintage car radio restoration.
Now I can actually go to my app.
We meet Rick Blankenship, and you join us in our booth at the local Waffle House, and even come with us to a swap meet. I'm Leslie, and it's Niche to Meet You.
Yeah. I can go here.
The Waffle House is one of the great Southern traditions. Seeing the giant yellow signs peppered along the Southern highways is right up there with a handshake so firm it'll numb your fingers, biscuits cooked with bacon grease, and the phrase, "be careful," uttered from a stranger with a twang upon departure of a conversation. I can tell I'm going to like a person when their face lights up at the sound of the phrase, "Waffle House." Furthermore, I can tell we're kindred spirits if they say something like, "Waffle House is a sacred place." Because it's true, you know. The best and the worst are on display at a Waffle House. You can go to disappear or conversate. Whatever you want to do there, you belong. And there's a holiness to grounds like that. Now, I'm sorry to tell you that I didn't know about all of this until 2022. After a show, energized at seeing so many people fresh off maternity leave, I came to realize that my baby, who had just started sleeping through the night, by the way, was safe at home with her daddy, and both of them were fast asleep. I was a free lady. Where would I go? What would I do? How could I change the world? A friend suggested Waffle House. Now, I'm a Northern girl by raising, and I had never been to a Waffle House, but I was in just the mood to try it. A world was indeed changed that night, and it turns out it was my own. I've gone to the Waffle House weekly since then, and I even joke that I hold office hours on Wednesday mornings at my local house. Sometimes I find a booth in the corner to read or write or do nothing at all, but sometimes I belly up to the bar with the local breakfast crew and make myself available for conversation. One such morning, I met a man named Richard Blankenship. Now, I'd seen him many times before, but this particular morning, I'd been stuck at home for several days on end to meet an editing deadline. I was an extrovert, starved for conversation, and Rick had prepared a feast for me. I learned that Rick is a highly sought-after vintage car radio restorer. Now, I assumed that this meant he outfitted old cars with new tech, but this is only partially correct. The full breadth of his work is much more complex and requires far more creativity than I could have even imagined. It required another conversation on a Wednesday morning at the Waffle House, and this time, you're joining us for it. So, wrap your hands around the ceramic mug, take a sip of the slightly watered-down coffee, breathe in the butter-saturated air, and let our favorite waitress take care of you as we learn about vintage radio restoration from my friend, Richard Blankenship.
We're going to order something, Lisa.
Rick and I found a booth tucked away in the back, right next to the bathroom hallway. We get our order put in with Lisa, and I ask Rick what exactly vintage radio restoration is, anyway. Like, how would he describe it to someone who had never heard of such a thing, like me?
Well, years ago, back in the 60s, 70s, you know, everybody had old cars and 60-mile, 70-mile cars, and then all of a sudden the cassette deck come in. So everybody's taking out their old radios, putting cassette decks in. Then CD changers and CD deck. Well, now it's become a big industry. They're buying these old cars and they want the original radio back in.
So they don't even necessarily have the radio.
Right.
That's a really interesting point that I hadn't thought about. This is a modern hobby because cars have only been around for 100 years.
Yeah. Back in the day when people, teenagers in the 50s, you know, that's what they done. They fixed them up, you know, to vote up. What's that, a singing song he was in that movie? Olivia Newton-John.
Oh, them, Grease Lightning.
Them cars fixed up. That's when basically
yeah,
it really
the
come
50s,
around.
Right. Yeah.
While some hobbies and niche subcultures have basically always existed, so many of them are a product of modern times, something that's risen out of technological advancement. And that's the case for vintage radio restoration. It's arisen entirely out of the idea that we're bringing something back to its original state that was once thought of as irrelevant. Whereas the teenager singing Greased Lightning on top of an old car had visions of decking it out with new tech, folks with the money to support their love of old cars are now putting the original radios back in, but with modern advancements.
If you own a vintage car and you dream of it, we can build it. So now you can take a original radio and still keep it like it always was, but add Bluetooth, whatever you want in it.
So you could have a presumably 1950s car that's connecting to your phone.
Yep.
And playing just off of your phone?
Yep. And the radio still works like it always did.
For some of us, including Rick, cars are a part of our personality.
I've had trucks all my life. I don't know, it is really part of what you are.
What kind of car guy would you say you are?
I got Volkswagen, but I'm a Ford truck man. I've always had Ford trucks.
Uh-huh.
But when I was a teenager, that's all we had. We used to go four-wheeling and four-wheel drives, play in the mud, you know.
There's an endearing quality about folks who use their cars as an extension of their expression of themselves. Not just the color, but the specific make and model can signal belonging to a group of folks. It's the kind of thing that invites secret hand gestures on the road as nods of approval to other people driving the same car. It's a belonging that signifies shared experience and knowledge and even shared wardrobe.
So, in your classic Ford F-150 moment, what is looking the part looking like? Your bibs.
You would have to ask it. Exactly right.
Bill. That's it. Would someone come along and say that's a F-150 guy?
Yeah. They see me, they go, yeah, he's Tennessee.
Okay.
Rick grew up in our town. He remembered when this Waffle House was nothing but a sinkhole. He told me he was on the road for a long time. And around here, that means he was in a band.
What'd you play?
I was a drummer.
How'd you start that?
Well, back when I was a kid, my brother had a drum set. I lived in Nashville at that time. I wasn't even in school. So when he'd go to school, I'd sneak up to his room and play drums. That's how I got started. And I was playing to Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass record.
His band played everywhere in North America, from the Yukon in Canada all the way down to Florida. But it wasn't a good environment for him.
You run into some good clubs, but you play a lot of bad clubs. It was not a very healthy for a young boy.
How old were you when you started?
I was in the 20s. And you learn real quick, this is not what you want to do.
So then you landed in vintage radio?
I actually worked for DuPont for 21 years. But during that time, I would do odd and end radios, just tinkering with it. And it just went.
Was it a sort of thing once you decided you were going to do it, it just
took went
off.
Out the roof, yeah.
Wow.
He quickly connected with a new company, developing technology for restoring old radios to their original casings and dashes, but outfitting them with modern tech with an app run through Bluetooth. Rick showed me this setup in context when I met him at a local swap meet run by an auto club. If you've never heard of them, swap meets are like flea markets, and this one had a lot of car parts. Outside, there were lines of old cars for sale. It was a huge ordeal. When I arrived, Rick was talking to a guy who needed a radio for his 1949 Willys Jeep.
Round front.
Yeah, little oval. Top and bottom straight on the side.
So, I got some. Oh, they ain't cheap.
Oh, I know that.
They're hard to find.
Well, give me a guess.
And the radio's gonna run you about $250, and then whatever conversion you want. So, your basic is gonna run you $550 plus the radio. You can add Bluetooth, or you can do the full thing. Plus the radio, about $1,000.
At the booth were several vintage radios displayed beautifully, one of which was outfitted with that $1,000 price tag tech.
And that's based. That's happening on your phone.
See, I can change the song just by turning it on.
That right there.
Yeah. Now I can actually go to my app. It's gonna connect up.
Oh yeah, to the Ford truck. There you go.
Yeah. Now I've got tells me what I'm playing, where I'm at.
Yeah.
I can go here.
After seeing his work in action, Rick walked me around the tables, weaving through two buildings, ultimately to see the old cars where radios like these end up.
Do people ever buy an old car and then come to you?
Mm-hmm. Too many of them. Sometimes I think they're buying old cars just so I get the radio. I don't know how many times they walk up and go, I just bought this old car. Mm-hmm.
Right from over here?
Yeah.
And they come straight to you?
From straight to me. I'm going to take the radio out and bring it over here.
Okay.
And I ain't even got the car running.
He's an award-winning restorer. His wait list is backed up for months. He told me he shipped radios to Germany, France, Switzerland, even Iran. He buys old radios at these swap meets and holds onto them in case someone else needs them in the future. Like the guy asking about the Jeep radio. Rick has two of them.
I'm trying to buy up something because it's rare. So I know I will make money on it.
So you're actively looking for things to build in case something comes through.
Yep, that's... People won't build them back. They want the original radio.
Right.
And that's what I do.
Enter Rick Blankenship with R&D
and
Vintage Radio.
It's a lot of work.
Yes.
It's a ton of work.
Well, it's a multidisciplined kind of work.
Yeah. Well, you got to know what you're doing, for one thing. And a lot of people don't. I'm dumb enough. Somebody tell me I can't do it, I do it. Don't tell a redneck he can't do this or that. That's what happens.
Hey, we'll get back to the episode in a second, but first, this is usually where people will ask you to subscribe, rate, and review the show on your platform of choice, and I would love if you did that. It's super helpful. But you know what's more helpful? Is telling a friend that you like it. So what if right now you texted one friend and said, hey, I'm listening to this new show called Niche to Meet You. I think you'd really like it. You know what I'll even do for you? I will play music for the next 15 seconds before we get back to the second part of the episode, so you can do it without missing a thing. Okay, ready? Here you go. Folks wanting to achieve a vision for the thing they love often spare little expense to make it happen. As you might imagine, car restoration can get really, really expensive.
Wow.
There's a ton of money spent on vehicles. A ton.
Well, even just a normal vehicle, there's a lot. A vehicle that's just, I just get in my car to drive to work. You have to spend a lot of money on that.
A lot of money on it.
But then
exactly.
to make a vehicle a part of your personality.
Right.
I mean, any one of us spend a lot of money on the things that we find meaning and, you know.
People like this here, they'll spend a fortune for a vehicle to sit in the garage, but they pull out on a sunny weekend and go out and get an ice cream cone. That's what they do.
Wow.
When we finally got to the vintage cars, he couldn't wait to show me one particular truck. It's lime green, rusted truck that looks ancient.
Now that would make a good truck right there. Not bad at all.
Y'all need that thing.
Yeah. We were just sitting here discussing that.
Yep.
I've seen one of them fixed up. I mean, probably $200,000 spent on it. Oh, it was nothing but a jewel. It looked like a diamond ring.
Sitting in that Waffle House booth, Rick wove the thread for me of the why behind the expensive undertaking of such an endeavor, like fixing up these old cars and attaching yourself to a car and playing these parts, and even throwing money into the restoration for the point of competition.
You get a lot of people that's really competitive. Me, I don't worry about no $5 trophy. Some people go crazy.
They really care.
Yeah. These guys are spending tons of money on the car, having what they want. If they got that kind of money, it's no option. This is what I want.
But for all this talk of money and cars and parts, it's all pointing to expression, an outward showing of an inner life. The cars themselves boast a certain artistry that Rick brings back to life.
If you look at a lot of dashes, that's art. Mm. That's when they made art. 49 Chrysler. Yeah. The radio is the whole dash. It's solid chrome. It's art, you know, everything. It ain't like nowadays, black plastic.
So do you consider yourself an artist?
In a way, because I'll take some that look pretty rough, and I'll spend more time making it look like it's supposed to than I do putting electronics on it.
Like you're an art restoration.
That way, yeah.
Yeah.
Rick has a YouTube channel where he showcases these radios. He does full walkthroughs of the features with the camera fixed on the radio itself. Rick, on the other side of the camera, the artist displaying his handiwork.
Got a 1933 Plymouth. This car here was outfitted with a Silvertone radio. Six-volt, positive ground.
There's value in restoring a thing to beauty when it's been stripped away or covered up. In a literal way, fine art restorers painstakingly remove the dirt and dust that have collected over decades. And Rick restores what's been replaced by less than beautiful tech over the years.
I think they're neat. And this used to be chrome with red, and the chrome was just eat plumb off. So we basically sandblasted and painted. And I think he's got somebody that's got a more steadier hand than I do to put the red back in it where it says silver tone. But that's your, it's a 1933 Plymouth, which is unreal. Now all this stuff was eat out, so we had to redo everything in there.
In all our efforts to make quote-unquote better things, more effective things, more flashy things, we may have found ourselves losing the point altogether. The improvements provide convenience, but at what cost? What's been lost while we chase efficiency? In this case, that of vintage car radios, there's a balance. And Rick strikes it by finding and restoring what was lost while maintaining the wonder of having your favorite song playing through the original piece of art on the dash. It takes vision to accomplish a thing like that, like seeing a rusted out green truck and meeting it with awe.
When I look at that, I think that's a busted old car. But you see something different.
You have to picture it, yeah. And that becomes spending time in the car industry, what you're seeing. Well, I go do these big F100 shows, and I'll see one of them sitting out there completely redone. And I mean, you're like, oh, man.
You see what it could be. You could see the potential instead of what's actually in front of you.
If you had the money and the time.
Well, yeah.
Money and time are precious for all of us. In fact, one of the key reasons automakers moved away from making these classic, beautiful, artistic radio dashes was to save money and time, to serve efficiency and functionality rather than aesthetics. But for Rick and others like him, life isn't just about saving time and money. It's about spending them on things you enjoy.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah. And I really enjoy building.
Yeah.
I mean, I had to be out there 7 days a week.
That's right. And then you're at Waffle House every morning.
I come by here to drink my coffee and eat my breakfast, and then I go shop.
And then, on a Sunday afternoon, Rick will don his bibs, get an ice cream cone, and take his Ford F-150 out for a gentle drive on the country roads. Maybe even with some Herb Alpert playing as accompaniment. You've been listening to Niche to Meet You, the podcast covering little-known niche subcultures and hobbies through mini-series and one-off episodes like this one. If you like what you heard, consider telling a friend about the show. And honestly, subscribing and reviewing are really great ways to help us look like a good use of listeners' time when someone finds us in the wild, but people will always prefer listening to shows shared by trusted sources than through browsing charts. A simple text to tell a friend or two about us would go a long way in helping this work. You can also learn more about this project, give feedback, and maybe even buy the team a pizza on our website at nichetomeetyou.show. Speaking of the team, I'm Leslie Thompson, and I get to bring this show to you with the help of Chris Thiessen, my editor, co-writer, theme explorer, and blind spot checker. The episode was mastered by Kevin Morris, who does a wonderful job of making what you hear sound pleasing to the ear. Our theme music was composed by Abigail Flowers, a jazz musician based here in Nashville, and the art was created by my longest creative collaborator, Rachel Hardiker. It's been so niche to meet you, and I'm glad you were here.